All right, everyone, welcome to the next edition of the Mark You Down for a Cup of Joe podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Joe.
And today we have a little bit of a different type of episode. We're going to be doing an NFL pick'em episode where basically we go through the schedule of the week two NFL season and we're going to pick the teams we think are going to win. We came up with this idea during football, you know. While we were watching football on Sunday, thought it would be a good thing to do. And we're going to try to do this, keep it consistent, and do a running total on that. But before we do that, would you please like, comment, share, and subscribe our Facebook page, Mark You Down for a Cup of Joe, on Facebook. And the same thing on YouTube, Mark You Down for a Cup of Joe. We'd really appreciate that. Trying to spread our exposure and our love for football with people. So if you have anyone who likes football, let them know. Send them our direction. So anyways, we're going to get right into it. Joe, what is the first game?
You know, we're going to go talk about our Thursday night game, Tampa Bay at the Carolina Panthers.
Okay, so am I picking first or do you want to pick first?
You know, let's have you go first this time. Let's mix this up.
All right, let's getting kind of spicy in here, but Tampa Bay at Carolina. I'm taking the Carolina Panthers. I don't trust Jameis Winston throwing interceptions all over the field. I think their defense is good, but I just really don't trust Jameis. I think Christian McCaffrey might have another really big game, and I trust Cam Newton a little bit more. I think they're very comparable teams. I think it's going to be close, and I'm just taking the home team here in the division.
Yep, and I agree with you there, Mark. I too am picking the Carolina Panthers to win this game at home against the interdivision rival. I think the Carolina Panthers are a little bit more explosive. They have Christian McCaffrey. They have Cam Newton. I didn't like what I saw from Jameis Winston this past week. It still looks like he's a work in progress that may never actually progress. Throwing three interceptions in the second half, really costing his team the lead right there, the game right there. The Panthers have proven that they can do it in the past. I think they're going to come out and play really hard and go punch these guys in the mouth and come away with the win.
Yep, and I will give some credit to Tampa Bay. That defense has pleasantly surprised me. I think they did a really good job on Sunday. Let's see if they can keep that up. But anyways, what's the next game?
You know, the next game we have is the San Francisco 49ers at the Cincinnati Bengals.
Okay, this is a tough one, but I'm taking the road team here. I'm taking San Francisco. I think they're going to build off of that defensive performance they had in Tampa. I believe it was in Tampa, right? I think. So they played really well on the road. I know it's Jameis Winston, and he's not necessarily the best quarterback in the world, but I think that defense is going to find a way to slow down that Bengals offense. Andy Dalton had a phenomenal game, but a lot of that was John Ross, and I think now they know that John Ross is going to be integral to that offense. They're going to find a way to slow him down. Jimmy G is going to do just enough to score on that Bengals defense, which I don't think is necessarily the best defense out there. So, Joseph, what's your pick on this one?
You know, I'm with you. I think the 49ers are going to come away and win this game on the road. I liked what I saw from Jimmy Garoppolo this past week. He looked good. He was making some nice throws. The 49ers defense looked really, really solid. They were pleasantly good. Pleasantly surprising, I should say. DeForest Buckner was back there. Their first-round pick, Nick Bosa, the brother of Joey Bosa, was an absolute monster. I know he didn't have the sack numbers, but he was a very disruptive player. He was always in the backfield. So I have them winning. I think it'll be a close game. I don't think the 49ers or the Bengals are going to run away with this one, but I have the 49ers winning.
All right, perfect. Well, so we're both in agreement so far, I think, with both the games. So let's move on. What's the next game, Joseph?
We have the Los Angeles Chargers at the Detroit Lions.
Oh, man. I think this is going to be a pretty good matchup. But as much as it pains me to say this, I'm taking the LA Chargers in the AFC West. I have a lot of questions about that Detroit defense giving up that many points to a rookie Kyler Murray, even though he wasn't really completing a lot of passes. And I just think the Chargers are an overall better team. They have more talent everywhere. I know they're on the road, but I think they're good enough to overcome on the road, especially against Detroit. So I'm going with the Chargers.
And once again, we are on the same page, Mark. I too have the Los Angeles Chargers coming in here and slaying the Lions here. They're going into the Lions' den and they're going to leave victorious.
Maybe with a new lion coat.
Maybe. Oh. Hot take.
Spicy take there. Poor Matt Stafford.
Yeah, that poor man. Anyways, I like Philip Rivers a lot more than I do Matthew Stafford. Philip Rivers is a little bit older, but he's proven that he can win. He's proven that he can play consistent. I like the weapons he has around him in Keenan Allen. They have a solid running game. They don't have Melvin Gordon, but the guys that they had filling in for him, I know it was a couple, they were filling in just nicely. They still ran the ball effectively. And that defense is loaded with talent, led by Joey Bosa. So I have the Los Angeles Chargers come in and slaying the Lion. Next, we're going to go to the Minnesota Vikings and the Green Bay Packers.
Yep. So, you know, Joseph, I know this is a phrase that you like to say. You like to say, go Pack, go, right? Well, I'm going to say no Pack, no this week. I think the Minnesota Vikings are going to go and roll some skulls. You see what I did there? Uh-huh. In Lambeau this week because of that defense. I think that defense is one of the best defenses in football. It's definitely a top five defense. It seemed to hit the ground running in the first regular season game, holding Atlanta to only 12 points, really scoreless for most of that game until Matt Ryan came back and had a couple touchdown passes and saved my fantasy team, mind you, in the process. That running game is going to be really good. It's going to be really hard to stop an explosive runner like Dalvin Cook. And I'm trusting that defense. And Kirk can play some complimentary football, even in Lambeau. So I'm going with them.
You know, the only skulls that the Vikings will be rolling this week is their own skulls.
Oh, wow. Hot take alert.
The Green Bay Packers are going to take this game. It's a home game. Aaron Rodgers is going to be playing a lot better. I think he needed a game just to get back into action, get back into the swing of things. He didn't play at all in the preseason. Their defense looked really, really good this past week against the Bears. They came up with some stops. They looked good against the run. Their secondary looks really good. They had some nice pass rush. I just can't pick against the Packers. That's my team. You know, there's something special about Aaron Rodgers. He always comes up with a way to win it. And I'm going to put my money on him this week. So go Pack, go.
No Pack now. So I guess that's our first one. So what's the next game, Joseph?
You know, we're going to go to another interdivision matchup between the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans.
Ooh, so I think this is going to be a really good game. But since they're very similar teams, I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans. One, they played really well. They had a shellacking on the Cleveland Browns last week. Dominant performance, offense, defense. You know, they were able to run the ball. Marcus Mariota looked pretty good. And their defense came up big. And especially with the loss of Nick Foles, you know, Gardner Minshew, he didn't play bad, but he is a rookie. Still needs that experience. I think that it's going to be a really tough time for them to overcome that. So I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans with the momentum at home.
Well, this is where we're going to disagree a little bit again, Mark, because I have the Indianapolis Colts coming in on the road and beating the Tennessee Titans. I really liked what I saw from Jacoby Brissett this past week, going 21 for 27, throwing for a couple of touchdowns. Marlon Mack looked really, really good for the Colts. He looks like a stud. He ran for 174, averaging 7 yards a pop. They gave him the ball 25 times. T.Y. Hilton looked really good. He looked explosive. And the defense played pretty solidly against the Chargers. I know they gave up the last-minute touchdown at the end, but I still think the defense played really well. They picked it up after the half. So I think we're going to see that carry into this game against the Titans. And I'm picking the Colts for this week.
Yeah, and on another side note, Marlon Mack definitely will be a really good fantasy team guy for me this year. He helped me win my game this week once again. So anyways, Joseph, we're going to move on to the next matchup. What do we have?
You know, we have another inter-division game. Well, I don't know how much of a game it'll be. But it'll be the New England Patriots against the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, I'm going Patriots on this one. I don't know what to say. We have...
Do we need to explain this one?
let me explain a couple of reasons why I think... This is going to be a shellacking, for lack of a better term. Oh. Well, one, it was a shellacking last week against a not as good Ravens team, so there's always that. Two, Tom Brady knows this team unlike any other. Been in the division forever. That's another one. I think that the players, let's see how much effort they give after that kind of a beating. I mean, there were players calling agents to say, trade me, you know. I think that's actually a bigger deal than people might let on. I don't know if they're going to show up to play. And then that last reason, one that doesn't really make me happy, but this Miami native who, let's say his initials are the first two letters of the alphabet, he shall not be uttered on my mouth right now, is going to be playing his first game with the Patriots against his hometown in Miami. So all this leads to a recipe for a shellacking and the Miami Dolphins securing the number one overall pick once and for all this season. So, yeah, Joseph, who do you have?
No, I don't have much to add. I do just want to add to what you mentioned earlier, how I don't think the Dolphins players are in it right now. I think they're kind of out of it. They've seen their coaches, they've seen other players start to go into cruise control, and I think they're just not going to show up at all on Tuesday, considering how dominant the Patriots played this past Sunday, them looking at the guys they have around him. And I just don't think they're going to show up at all at Sunday. I don't think they're in the right mindset to pull out the upset. So, Patriots.
Patriots all the way in that game. So, Joseph, who's next?
We have the Buffalo Bills going on the road to the New York Giants.
I think this is going to be a really good game, but I also think it's going to be an ugly game. But I'm taking the Buffalo Bills here. I think, you know, there's uncertainty at the quarterback position with the Giants, so that, you know, there's no real sort of consistency there. They're looking at Daniel Jones, they're looking at Eli Manning, they're trying to determine who they want to go with moving forward. So there's that. I also think Doug McDermott's one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL as the head coach for the Buffalo Bills. I think he's going to keep this game really close, really put the clamps down on that New York Giants offense that doesn't have a lot of playmakers, minus Saquon Barkley. I don't think it's going to be enough. I think Josh Allen is going to make a couple really spectacular plays because he is that gifted, even if he is raw and makes some mistakes. I think those couple of plays are going to be enough for the Buffalo Bills to come out with a win.
Yeah, exactly. I think Josh Allen's going to take the momentum he got rolling this past week, coming back and beating the Jets. And I think that's going to build up against the New York Giants. And this could actually be a game that he could really use right now, going up against a weaker team in the NFL right now. If he can go in, make some nice throws, come off with another win, I think we could see Josh Allen have steady progression throughout this year as an NFL quarterback. I like him a little bit better than I do Eli Manning right now, so I'm going to pick the Buffalo Bills in a close, gritty matchup like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah, and the biggest thing with that, I just one last thing to add is Josh Allen needs to protect the football because in a close game, you know, four turnovers really does mean a loss. I mean, I think they kind of got lucky with the Jets, but I don't see him turning the ball over four times this week. So what's the next game, Joseph?
We are going to be going to Pittsburgh for the Seattle Seahawks and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. Well, I mean, is Pittsburgh even going to be showing up to Pittsburgh this Sunday? I'm going with the Seattle Seahawks on the road. Russell Wilson, one of the premier disrespected quarterbacks in the NFL. Whenever we're talking about best quarterbacks, he's never really mentioned. But you know what? All this guy does is make the playoffs with whatever teams around him. I think the addition of DK Metcalf is a big one as he gets more adjusted to the offense. Tyler Lockett, guy they're going to look to a lot. And I think it's going to be too much for that Pittsburgh defense. And Chris Carson looks to be coming strong as of late. And really this comes down to, I cannot pick the Pittsburgh Steelers after seeing the egg they laid on Sunday night against the Patriots. And granted, it is the Patriots, but that's fresh on my mind. And Big Ben and that team has a lot to prove. So I'm going with Seattle.
Yeah, and you covered a lot of the stuff that I was going to cover. Ultimately, my decision-making here is I cannot pick against the Seattle Seahawks, especially what I saw from the Steelers this past week. The offense never got going. They couldn't run the ball. They were throwing all sorts of flat screen passes. None of their playmakers did anything. And really, they just did not look good as a team. So I'm going to go pick the Seattle Seahawks. We are on the same page with this one.
All right, perfect. Well, let's see if we're on the same page with the next game. And what is it, Joseph?
We are going to move on to an NFC East matchup between the Dallas Cowboys, them boys.
Oh man, we gotta have some dignity. Washington Redskins. Let's retain some dignity on this podcast. I know we're not huge right now, but we can't be saying things like that and expecting to grow our fan base.
Well, you know what? I'm going with them boys right now.
Oh my goodness.
We are gonna take Dak Prescott leading the Patriots. The Cowboys. Leading the Cowboys to another victory. He looked really, really sharp this past week. Kellen Moore, their new offensive coordinator. I don't think most people realize that he is an offensive coordinator right now. But he has done a very, very good job in maximizing Dak Prescott's abilities. Ezekiel Elliott's going to be more in shape, hopefully. He's getting into game shape again. The offensive line is healthy again. Tyron Smith, Zach Martin, Travis Frederick, they're all there. The defense looks sharp. And really, the Redskins do not look sharp. They have Case Keenum playing quarterback for them, and I think that says a lot right there. It shows what kind of situation they're in right now. So Dallas overall, I think, is just a much, much better team, and they're going to come in and do what they need to and come away with the win.
Yeah, I agree with you, though I will not go as far as the saying what you said, you know, their little catchphrase. I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I just think they're the Redskins and the Cowboys, to me, on offense and defense, kind of want to accomplish the same things. And they're very similar teams, but Dallas just does it way better. So I'm not going to overthink it. Even on the road, interdivisional opponent might be a tough one, but I could totally see the Cowboys winning this game by 10 handily. So I'm going with the Cowboys.
All right. So let's go down to our next game. The Arizona Cardinals against the Baltimore Ravens.
Well, let's just say we're gonna
be bird watching this game.
We are going to be bird watching. Let's get our binoculars out, especially because Kyler Murray will come up short against the Baltimore Ravens on the road. I'm picking Lamar Jackson. How can you pick against Lamar Jackson right now after what we've seen? I know the Miami Dolphins aren't the best team. They're probably the worst team. But throwing that many touchdowns, just finding guys, he looked like he's developed a little bit more as a passer than I gave him credit for in the preseason. Yeah, they're hot. They're feeling themselves. They're feeling good. And they're going to be playing another one of the worst teams in the NFL. So, you know, Lamar Jackson, I'm rolling with you, man. I think you're going to do it again this week and turn some eyebrows. So Baltimore Ravens at home.
And we're on the same page once again, Mark. I, too, have the Baltimore Ravens in this matchup. I'm not sold on Kyler Murray just yet. I don't like the team he has around him. Lamar Jackson's hot. The Baltimore Ravens are playing really, really good football right now. Even though the Miami Dolphins are probably the worst team in football, it's still hard to drop 59 points on a team, which the Baltimore Ravens just did. So I think they're going to keep that momentum coming, and they're going to go they're going to come out guns a-blazing against Arizona and come away with the victory.
Yeah, and I'm really impressed that Ravens were able to bring over Mark Ingram, and he looks like he's going to be the feature guy for that offense, so it looks like they finally found their guy for that. So doesn't bode well for Arizona, in my opinion. Anyways, what's the next game?
We're going to go to Jacksonville and Houston, another interdivision matchup.
Really good game. Really good game in my mind. Man, if Nick Foles didn't go down, I might be picking the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I'm going with the Houston Texans on this one. What we see from Deshaun Watson is superhuman. The way he's playing football, he may as well be one of the best quarterbacks that in football right now, absorbing 6 sacks and still able to go out and deliver the way he did. I know it didn't turn out the way they wanted in New Orleans, but that was almost an unfortunate ending. It had nothing to do with Deshaun Watson and his heroics. I'm going to go with him at home, interdivisional matchup. So, and I just don't think the rookie Gardner Minshew is going to be able to get it done against someone like Deshaun Watson. So what do you think, Joseph?
You know, I too have the Houston Texans, but I think this could be a very, very good game. Gardner Minshew, he came out of nowhere, and he actually played really, really well. I don't think people really realized what he did. Nick Foles went down really early, and he threw the ball 25 times. He completed 22 of his passes for 275 yards. 2 touchdowns. He did throw a pick, but he had a quarterback rating of 122. Mm-hmm. So he played really good. He looked good. Let's see if he can do that again. Because if they can get good quarterback play with that defense, these Jaguars could give the Texans a run for their money. But I'm going to pick with the proven, I'm going to stick with the proven quarterback with the proven defense in the Houston Texans.
Yeah, perfect. This will be a really interesting game to watch. And this is one of those games where the loser of this game is going into desperation mode, I would think, at 0-2, you know, in the division. So,
yep.
Especially if the Tennessee Titans win, like I think. So, anyways, what will be the next game?
You know, we got another interdivision matchup, and this should be a good one between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Oakland Raiders.
The Raiders, baby. We're back. I'm going to go first. Joseph, I'm not picking against my Raiders. You know that. I have my Raider hat right on right now. How am I going to pick, like, gold and red? Like, just there's win, no baby. Way. Just win, baby. And realistically, this has the potential to get ugly really fast if Patrick Mahomes gets hot, but this is a game at home. Oakland is going to be wild and booming. Being at the game last night really showed that they want it. The fans want it. They're really going to feed off this energy. Derek Carr's playing excellent football. I know he didn't throw a lot of touchdowns, but I mean, he was just the guy. He was the man, making every third down throw that they needed. And that rookie Josh Jacobs is going to have his way with that Kansas City defense, I believe. Have an opportunity to keep it close. I'm taking the Raiders at home with a lot of energy. So, the Raiders.
You know, I'm picking this team not because I love doing this, but I'm going for the Raiders.
Let's go. I did not see this one coming. Okay, so why do you think this?
I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have a little bit of a, I won't say a bad year, but he's not going to produce the numbers he put up last year. What he did last year was incredible. That's a once-in-a-career type of season, I think. If he can duplicate those numbers this year, then I think we have the makings of an all-time great. I will say that if he does that this year, but it's too early to say something like that. I didn't like what I saw from him last week. He was getting pressured a little bit, making some bad throws. You know, there's the popular clip out of him right now throwing that no-look pass to Travis Kelce. I think he was trying to showboat a little bit. I think he's a little cocky right now. I don't think he's expecting the Raiders to come out and play hard. And I think they're going to come and punch him in the face, come and smack him in the mouth, as we say in the football. As we say in football. Derek Carr looked really, really sharp. The numbers didn't back it up, but I think it was more of the game flow that may have brought his numbers down a little bit, but he looked really sharp. So we take in them. Raiders!
The Raiders, man. Let me just tell you this. If the Raiders go up 2-0 in the division, you know, back-to-back weeks. I know they're at home, but the prospects, I mean, that this could be a potential playoff team, and I'm super excited about that. I really do think if Kansas City comes in and just kind of expects the Raiders to roll over, I think they're going to be dead wrong and mistaken. So both of the Raiders, surprising one, makes me happy. But anyways, let's not spend too much time on the Raiders' victory next week, potentially. Let's move on to the next game, and what will that be, Joseph?
You know, this is against the Chicago Teddy Bears and the Denver Broncos.
And who's at home in this one?
The Denver Broncos.
Okay.
And I'm just going to go ahead and start. I, in good conscience, cannot pick against any team in Chicago. The Bears, well, I guess we can call them Teddy Bears after this past game against the Packers. They did not play very well at all. I don't see them going into Denver on the road, going up against a good defense. Joe Flacco, he made some nice throws against the Raiders. He's still, you know, I wasn't wowed by his performance, but I still think he's going to be a solid quarterback for them this year. The defense looked good, but I think the big thing is I just don't trust Mitchell Trubisky and that Bears offense to move the football. And I don't think that defense is good enough. It's not going to score enough to carry this team to victory. So we're going to take the Broncos.
Well, Joseph, it really pains me to say this.
How dare you? I thought we were friends.
But the Denver Broncos are going to beat the living snot out of the Chicago Bears on Sunday. And I'm not happy to say that the Broncos are going to win, far from it, but the thing I go back to is how can I in good conscience pick the Chicago Bears to win on the road when Mitchell Trubisky could only put up 3 points throwing 45 times against no pass rush? What's Von Miller and Bradley Chubb going to do to this guy? I mean, this has the potential to be a really ugly game. I don't think Joe Flacco's that good either, but he's a veteran, and I think he's going to know how to handle himself on the field. I just don't. Man, this has a recipe for a disaster for the Chicago Bears, and I think we're looking at 0-2, and their season is definitely in some danger at that point. So, yeah, 45 throws, 3 points, no pass rush. That's insane. That's not going to get it done against the Denver Broncos for sure. So, anyways, next game, Joseph, what do we got on the schedule?
You know, we're going to be going down to Los Angeles for the New Orleans Saints at the Rams.
All right. Go for it.
I'll go ahead and start us off with this one. I'm going to be going with the New Orleans Saints in this matchup. Okay. I think they're going to come in. They're going to be fired up for this game after last year's playoff no call. That should have sent them to the Super Bowl. So I think they're going to want to come up. They're going to want to come in and put these guys, they're gonna want to show these guys up on their home stadium, on their home turf right there. In this past game, this past Monday against the Texans, the Saints showed that they could still move the ball. Drew Brees still looked fairly good. He has lots of weapons out there, and Michael Thomas, Jared Cook, Alvin Kamara, they were able to move the ball a little bit. They were able to control the Houston offense a little bit. I know Houston still had some nice drives, but the Saints defense had some really nice stands in there. And I think they're going to come in and show these guys up. I think they're going to play a lot harder than the Rams, because I think both of these teams are fairly evenly matched offensively and defensively. But I think the Saints are going to come in play harder.
I'm actually going with the LA Rams at home here. A few reasons. One, I know Todd Gurley is not the same, but their backup running back seems to do pretty fine. I think it's more... I'm not more of a product of Sean McVay's offense, but he can obviously find a running back to work in his offense. I like Jared Goff. I don't think he's better than Drew Brees, but I think Aaron Donald's going to be a disruption all game. And I think kind of the reverse that you did, the whole Rams, the Saints thing, the Saints are going to get up and play harder. I think the Rams are going to play harder because you know how much noise New Orleans has created in this offseason about, oh, it should have been a pass interference. We should have been in the Super Bowl. Well, there's still a full overtime period where the Rams actually beat the Saints. They got the ball back. Or Drew Brees got the ball. They had the opportunity to score. And pressure got in, and Drew Brees threw the pick, and the Rams won. Jared Goff made the plays when Drew Brees couldn't. So I think they're going to be looking to really prove, no, we deserve to be in the Super Bowl. We're the superior team. We are at home, and we're going to kick the snot out of you guys. And I think that mentality, plus being at home with Sean McVay, I think this is going to be a bloodbath, but I'm picking the LA Rams to come out on top on this one. So differing opinions. This is probably, to me, this might be the game of the week. So keep your eyes peeled for this one, guys.
All right. Well, we got another good one for the Sunday night game. Another good matchup between two good quarterbacks. The Philadelphia Eagles at the Atlanta Rams, at the Atlanta Falcons, excuse me.
Wow, is that a new expansion team, the Atlanta Rams? They're yes, sharing a stadium?
Yes, it's a little side project I have going on right now.
Hush, hush.
But I think this should be another good game between Carson Wentz and his Eagles and Matt Ryan and his Falcons. I have the Philadelphia Eagles coming in on the road and beating Matt Ryan and the Falcons. I really liked what I saw from Carson Wentz this past week. After a little bit of a slow start, he seemed to pick it up a lot faster in the game. I think right around the second half, they started to really get going for that offense. He looked really sharp. They were able to move the ball really well. The defense is still going to be really good. I still like that front seven. And the Falcons, I just didn't like what I saw. I know they did go up against a top five defense, but that's Matt Ryan back there. He didn't really do anything. It took him a while to get going. And I think Carson Wentz is just going to outdo them in this game, and that's going to be the deciding factor.
Another bird watching game we're going for, and this is birds of prey we're talking about, some big dogs in the NFL. Big birds. No, I can't say that either. With this matchup, I'm actually going with the Atlanta Falcons at home. They lost the game on the road to the Minnesota Vikings. I think that's more of a product of Minnesota's defense and being at home. This is a desperate team right now. They can't afford to lose two games. Going down 0-2. This is going to be desperation time. I think Matt Ryan's going to play his best football. And Atlanta does tend to play way better at home anyway. So I think we're going to see a different version of that offense. Going to put a lot of pressure on that that Philly defense. I think Carson Wentz is going to have a great game, but I'm going to take Atlanta at home. So, and the desperation. So I guess we differ there, but let's go bird watching. We'll see how these bird games turn out. But there's one more game left on the schedule for Monday night. Joseph, who is playing on Monday?
You know, we got the... We got the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets this Monday night. We got a... So the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. This should be an interesting matchup. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I think this one's going to be really interesting because these are two teams that people have picked to make the jump, so to say, next year, this year. They both have second-year quarterbacks in Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I know the New York Jets are at home. I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns on this one. I think just in the sense that Baker Mayfield, he looked bad, and I don't think he's going to be the type of guy who's going to come back and have a repeat performance of what he did against the Tennessee Titans. I think he's going to clean some of those things up and really be focused and ready to go. They've been talked about, and there's a lot of speculation. I think they want to shut him up. They're those kinds of guys, him and Odell. So I am nervous about this one, though, but I could see the New York Jets pass rush really – really just dominating, and Baker Mayfield looks bad, but at the moment I'm taking the road team to win this game. So what do you think, Joseph?
I think the Cleveland Browns are going to come in and take this game, and really I just did not like what I saw from the Jets this past week, them losing to the Bills like they did, giving up 14 fourth quarter points, which cost them the game. Sam Darnold, I know he's young, but he really didn't look like... He didn't impress me with anything that he did. Le'Veon Bell, he didn't have a breakout game. He didn't look like his old self. He got the ball a whole lot, didn't make any explosive plays. And looking through the Browns game, looking through the stats, Baker Mayfield, I know he had three picks, but everything else was there. He still completed a lot of his passes. He threw for a lot of yards. They put together a decent run game. And I think their offense is just going to be more explosive this week coming into New York on the road. I think they're going to come away and win this game. I think Baker Mayfield's going to work out some of those kinks in his game. I think the protection will be a little bit better. They're going to run the ball a whole lot. And I think that's what's going to push them to victory this game. So I have the Cleveland Browns winning.
All right, perfect. So that takes us to the end of our picks. Joseph, I'm going to have you run through your picks again, the guys you picked. So who do you have in all of your games?
So I have the Carolina Panthers. Then I have the San Francisco 49ers, the Los Angeles Chargers, the Green Bay Packers, go Pack go, the Indianapolis Colts, the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills, the Seattle Seahawks, the Dallas Cowboys, Baltimore Ravens, Houston Texans, the Raiders, the Denver Broncos, the New Orleans Saints, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then the Cleveland Browns.
All right, so going through this one, let's see how similar they are. I also have the Carolina Panthers. I have the San Francisco 49ers, the LA Chargers. I do have the Minnesota Vikings and the Tennessee Titans, unlike you. I have the New England Patriots. I do have the Buffalo Bills, the Seattle Seahawks, the Dallas Cowboys, the Baltimore Ravens. I think we differ with Houston. I have them. And then the Raiders. I can't pass up an opportunity to say it like John Gruden, so I'm picking them at home. Denver Broncos, I have. I have the LA Rams. Then I have the Atlanta Falcons, and then the Cleveland Browns. So that is week two's pick'em segment. Please like, comment, share, and subscribe. Let us know what you think is a little bit different, where we may be off base on some of these picks, and let us know some of your own sleeper picks. So thank you for listening. This is Mark.
This is Joe.
And we are signing off. Until next time. All right, everyone. Welcome back to the Mark It Down for a Cup of Joe podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Joe.
And today we're going to be talking about NFL week one, a little NFL action. You know, football's back. We're going to be talking about some things that we noticed in the NFL week one. We're not going to break down every single game. We're just going to break down some of the bigger things or more important things that we can talk about. So We each have three different things that stood out to us in this NFL week one. So we're going to just get right into it, have a little conversation about them. So Joe, what is your first biggest takeaway from NFL week one?
You know, the biggest thing that stood out to me, and that's why it's number one, was the Pittsburgh Steelers. And this past offseason, they lost two big parts of that offense in Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell. With the confidence that they'd be able to replace or get near to that production which they gave them. They thought Juju Smith would be able to step up and be a number one receiver. They thought they'd be able to replace Le'Veon Bell and James Conner. But after watching them against the Patriots, and to be fair, it was against the Patriots, arguably the best team in the NFL right now, they just did not look good at all. The offense had no rhythm. They weren't able to throw the ball all that well. They never got any sort of run game going. Juju Smith, I don't think, stepped up and became that number one receiver like you were hoping he'd become. Stephon Gilmore had him shut down for most of the game. And Big Ben did not look very good as well. He wasn't throwing the ball down the field a whole lot. He wasn't using that big arm, which he has. He was checking down a whole lot. The defense got lit up for 30 points, and quite honestly, if the Patriots really wanted to, I think they could have easily gone and scored a lot more had they been more aggressive. I think a lot of it was game flow. They were just calling plays. They kept moving the ball, but they really weren't taking any shots down the field because they had no need to at that point. They didn't need to risk anything. So the defense got picked apart a little bit. They never really even got near to Tom Brady. So, you know, that's my biggest NFL, that's my biggest takeaway from week one of NFL football is the Pittsburgh Steelers are not looking as good as everyone predicted, as everyone was hoping. They look to be in a, they look to be in some trouble right now.
Yeah, and I'm one of those guys who picked the Pittsburgh Steelers. If you watched our AFC predictions episode, I actually predicted the Steelers to win that division. So, you know, my pick isn't looking so good now. A lot of the things you mentioned, I think, hold true. Juju not really being that number one in that game. And then James Conner really not doing much on the ground. But I think a lot of onus here falls on Big Ben. I mean, he is the veteran of this team, and he's the quarterback. As he goes, the team goes. And, you know, he wasn't throwing with a lot of rhythm. He looked lost. He almost looked like a rookie out there. Like, there was nothing really positive you could take from this game. So, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I would be extremely worried if I were you right now. And, like, the almost the underlying thing is, can Big Ben get it done anymore as age finally caught up to him? Like, can he really carry a team? I don't know anymore. So, he might fall out of that top five, top ten conversation, and Pittsburgh might have to be looking at life without Big Ben relatively quickly if he keeps this up. So I think that was a good storyline to touch upon. Is there anything else you want to add with the Pittsburgh Steelers, or does that pretty much cover it?
I think that covers all of the takeaways I had for them this past week.
All right, perfect. Well, so my first takeaway, or one of my takeaaways, is the second year quarterback struggles. As you know, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, and Josh Allen are all drafted in the first round of the 2018 NFL draft. And the only quarterback I'm not going to put in this list right here is Lamar Jackson. Obviously, he had a fantastic game, but, you know, these are Lamar Jackson, I'm excluding out of this list for obvious reasons, had a great game. Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, and Josh Allen were guys that were all drafted before Lamar in the first round, and they all did not look good. Josh Allen, 4 turnovers. Sam Darnold never could really get the offense in any sort of rhythm against the Bills. And then Baker Mayfield, that was probably the biggest disaster from the number one pick that we could have seen. So the second year quarterbacks, not really looking too hot. And the interesting thing is, you know, it's really funny because they said that was going to be a good quarterback draft, a really good one. And the last time they said that there wasn't a good quarterback draft, we got Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes out of it. So I think the jury's still out on these young guys. And we have to just wait and see. But I don't think It's really looking good for those three guys right now.
No, I don't think it's looking good for both. All three of them got off to a really bad start. I was never really sold on Josh Allen coming out of college. He was coming from a little bit of a smaller school. Didn't see a lot of big-time schools. He wasn't going up against any of those Pac-12 SEC schools, some of those schools that produces NFL talent year in and year out. Baker Mayfield, kind of the same thing. I never really liked him coming out of Oklahoma. I didn't know how NFL-ready he was going to be. Sam Darnold, I didn't get to see a whole bunch of him. I left right when he was starting to blow up. But from what I've seen from him this past week in the NFL, it looks like he's going through some struggles right now. To be fair, I do want to defend Baker Mayfield just a little bit here in this situation. He did look bad. He did throw three interceptions, but his line play was just absolutely awful. He was not getting any time to throw, to get time to set his feet, to really make any decisions. So I think that's may have played a factor into why he had three interceptions, which I'm not going to use as a green card to wave away all of that, because there's other lots of good quarterbacks that can still make those throws under pressures. But like you were saying, not a whole lot coming from this group of second-year quarterbacks. You know, the second year is the year where these guys tend to make the leap, where they begin to live up to their potential. Look at Patrick Mahomes, look at a guy like Derek Carr. Way back when, his second year, he took off a little bit. And I just didn't see it with a lot of those guys, except Lamar Jackson, like you said. But I'm curious to see what he does against a more, well, to be quite blunt, a team that isn't tanking, a team that is actually out there playing football.
That is a very fair point. But yeah, nothing else to add. Lamar Jackson looks great right now, but we shall see how he does continuing going forward. But Joseph, what is your second biggest takeaway of the NFL kickoff week?
You know, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about the New Orleans Saints and the Houston Texans game yesterday. And right before week one, the Houston Texans got bold and they made some moves. They shipped off Jadeveon Clowney. They traded for Laremy Tunsil and for one other receiver. His name's slipping my mind right now.
Kenny Stills?
Yes, Kenny Stills. Thank you. And watching them against the New Orleans Saints has me a little bit concerned about some of those decisions to trade away some of those, trade away Jadeveon Clowney and trade for Laremy Tunsil and Kenny Stills. You know, the defense still played all right, but it seemed like it was missing a presence out there. I think having Jadeveon Clowney really could have helped that pass rush a whole lot. JJ was getting double, triple teamed. He was still he was still disrupting plays like he normally does, but it's hard to consistently do that when you have three guys blocking you on every play. Laremy Tunsil, you know, as I watched the game, it looked like he was doing okay. But then I saw him give up some sacks towards the end of the game. The whole offensive line struggled with that, and it led to Deshaun Watson getting hit a couple of times. And I know there were a couple of times where he got up really slow. So, I'm starting to wonder how effective these moves Houston made are actually going to be for this team. I think we have a problem in Houston. I think
nice callback there.
I think this may have been some last minute moves to try and beef up the team, maybe just grabbing some of those guys that have some of the bigger names and hoping they would fit right into their system, and I don't think they've done that.
Yeah. Remember when we recorded our Houston We Have a Problem podcast and I was like, hey, does this have potential to blow up in their face? You're like, no, not so much. I'm thinking this is why I thought it could be a problem, because Laremy Tunsil definitely does help, but that offensive line is just atrocious. And, you know, even with the addition of Laremy Tunsil, it's not good. Deshaun Watson still absorbed, I think, six sacks. So, and the problem is, this is as good as Houston's going to get. You know, Houston does indeed have a problem without their next two first-round picks. Like, I know they drafted a tackle this year in the first round, but you know, how are you going to get some of those offensive linemen to protect Deshaun Watson? And my biggest takeaway, I guess, with this is Deshaun Watson is an absolute stud. Love the kid, love the quarterback. But I think the Houston Texans are wasting Deshaun Watson's prime. Because if you're not going to be able to protect him, you might see something, you know, where a quarterback keeps getting hit repeatedly, and it might shorten his career. And, you know, he might not be as effective. They really need to fix that. And I don't know what avenues they can go through to fix that right now, but they can't do this. They can't put Deshaun Watson out there in harm's way. And I know they've tried to address it, but I mean, this is where you would have to go in the offseason and, like the Raiders did, pay for Trent Brown, you know, get some of those more proven guys who've been able to do it. And they haven't done that. They've tried to address it with Laremy Tunsil and a rookie. So, yeah, that's...
It just it brings back a line from The Blind Side, that great Hollywood movie. And I don't know if I'm going to quote this exactly right, but towards the beginning of the movie, it's talking about how important the left tackle is, and it talks about how no quarterback is... There's no good quarterback without a good left tackle up in front of him. And, you know, you think of the Patriots back in the day with Sebastian Vollmer, Big Ben with, Andre Villa...
Villanueva?
Yes, Villanueva, thank you. I was going to say Villanueva, but that didn't sound right. You got Aaron Rodgers and David Bakhtiari, Dak Prescott and Tyron Smith. And, you know, you got Deshaun Watson out there with Laremy Tunsil, who is a top-notch player, but... is he up there in that elite category? Is he a top five left tackle? And right now, after seeing that, I don't think so. And to be fair, I will give him credit. It is a new system. He's only been there for about a week. So that may have been part of the reason for his struggles. So I want to see, I want to give him a few more weeks. I want to give some of these moves a few more weeks and see them get more integrated into that system and see what happens.
Yeah, we shall see. And another point, to be fair, I think New Orleans has a really good defensive line as well. But, you know, moving on later into the year, you're going to be playing teams with really good defensive lines, especially in the playoffs if you want to make a run, because this is where that team's at, and it could be a problem later on. But anyways, I'm going to move on to my second biggest takeaway. And my second biggest takeaway is the AFC North is now the Ravens' division to lose. After 1 week, I am confident enough to say that, simply because Lamar Jackson is playing really well. It looks like he's taken that next step. And that was my biggest question. And hey, he answered it. And he looks like one of those franchise quarterbacks that you want, you know, athletic. He's throwing with touch and accuracy. The other thing is the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think they're not going to be good this year, just from that one game I saw. And I know this might be a little bit of an overreaction on both ends, but I do think that that this has a little bit more staying power than most things. I do think Lamar Jackson actually is a better passer. He's throwing the ball way better. And, you know, Pittsburgh is missing those weapons. I'm the Cleveland Browns. I mean, they'll be fine in the long run. But, you know, we just shown
they're not the Super Bowl contenders that people were portraying them to be.
No, they're not. And Baker showed a lot of weakness that I hadn't really seen last year. I mean, yeah, he might have thrown picks last year, but he just kind of looked constantly under duress, and he didn't look like he was able to handle it. In Cincinnati, Andy Dalton actually had a really good game, but just don't trust the Bengals yet. So the AFC North is the Ravens' division to lose.
I completely agree with that. I don't have much to add there. We talked about Pittsburgh earlier. I didn't like what I saw from the Browns. I thought they were a little overhyped coming into this season. They added a couple of big name players, but overall, I look at that roster. I don't think it's a Super Bowl winning roster just yet. And the Cincinnati Bengals, well, they've just let us down time and time again, and I don't think they have as good of a roster as they've had in years past when they were legitimate playoff contenders. So Baltimore Ravens, the ball is in, you know, this is your division right now.
Ball's in your court, and yeah, keep up this play, and you guys could make a run in the postseason. But anyways, Joseph, what was your second big point, big takeaway?
You know, we're going to go back to quarterbacks, and we're going to go talk about another young quarterback in the NFL, and that's Dak Prescott. Before, I was not a big Dak Prescott fan. I thought he was a good quarterback, but I thought, but I was of the opinion that It was more so because of Ezekiel Elliott's success running the ball, great offensive line, weapons to throw to. And he comes out week one and he has a absolute killer game. And I'm going to start believing in Dak a little bit more. He really did impress me. He really did change my mind a little bit. Throwing for 400 yards, throwing for 4 or 5 touchdowns, however many it was. I think it was 4.
It was 4, yeah.
That's no easy thing to do. Him and Kellen Moore seem to be doing a really, really good job, especially Kellen Moore. They were throwing the ball a lot more, getting a lot more play actions. Dak was putting the ball where it needed to be. He made some really, really nice throws against the Giants. And I think he could take that next step, and I think we could start seeing Dak Prescott lead this offense this year instead of Ezekiel Elliott and the rushing game leading this offense, which I think could actually make the Dallas Cowboys legitimate contenders this year, as much as I don't like to say it, me not being the biggest Dallas fan out there. Mm-hmm. But if Dak Prescott can play like this week in and week out, I think we have a legitimate, we're going to have a fun time watching the NFC.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree with you. And my biggest takeaway is kind of like the tail end of your point, is that it looks like Dak Prescott can carry this team without Ezekiel Elliott, because it seems like the Cowboys in the past few years, if Ezekiel Elliott wasn't going, the offense wasn't going. Well, Zeke is still getting back into game shape, and Dak was throwing it all over the lot. And granted, he does have a very good team around him, but this is what good teams do, and this is what good quarterbacks do. They beat bad teams, and they beat them handily. You know, I mean, maybe not necessarily the scoreboard all the time reflects that, but it never felt like Dallas was out of control of this game. You know, so that's kind of my biggest takeaway. And if that's the case, Dak is about to get a massive payday and reset this quarterback market. That's the other thing that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, and another thing that I'd like to point out is just Dak spread the ball around a whole lot this game against the Giants. He wasn't really favoring one guy over the other. He wasn't, you know, only throwing the ball to
Amari.
Yes, Amari Cooper. He wasn't only throwing the ball to Randall Cobb, Jason Witten,
Michael Gallup.
There were, let me count this out, I have the stats pulled up. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different guys who caught passes against the Giants. And a lot of them were, you know, 3, 4, 5 receptions. So Dak was spreading the ball around a little bit. I think that shows that he's reading defenses. He's throwing to the open man. He's looking for the open man. So I think Dak Prescott has taken a little bit of a jump this year.
Yeah, a little bit of a jump is a lot of positive for the Cowboys. Now, I'm going to go with my last one, and I've been debating what I should do for this last one. But you know what? I'm going to go with it. The Raiders are a functional organization.
Raiders!
The Raiders are going to be a great organization moving forward in the upcoming years. And I have no doubt about that. Simply because look how they were able to handle this he who shall not be named situation. This guy was never present at training camp. It was drama literally every day up until his release. And this team was able to stay focused, get locked and loaded, and just handle their business on Monday night. And when you look at this team, the reason I wanted to go with this is because there's a lot of people in media. If you watch media, there's one prominent figurehead, I will say. Not going to name his name, but his name rhymes with Smallin Now Bird. And he says that the Raiders are a dysfunctional organization, that they're just a dumpster fire. And you know what? He's saying that this guy, he who shall not be named, was embarrassing the organization. It shows that they didn't have a handle on it. Well, guess what? They do. Mike Mayock and John Gruden know exactly what they're doing. Mayock knows how to pick talent. It was on display on Monday. John Gruden knows how to coach and win football games. That was on display Monday. And the Raiders are back, and I'm really excited to see Derek Carr. I mean, he was able to just have an excellent game, only playing 6 preseason snaps. I expect him to get better. And yeah, the Raiders, I think, are going to be here to stay in the near future. So Vegas, get ready. You're going to have a good team on your hands.
This is a team coming into this week that I thought was underrated. When I saw the matchup against the Broncos, and the Broncos were favored, that actually surprised me, because looking at the Broncos team, they have, they just don't impress me. They're just one of those teams that is I'd say just right below mediocre, where you're looking at like 6 wins and that's about it. That's about all you're going to get from them. They don't have anything really going for them right now. They have old washed-up quarterback playing for them. They're trying to ride a defense which isn't going to live up to the 2015 Super Bowl run. And nothing really budding for them right there. Well, with the Raiders, you have Derek Carr, a young quarterback who's been in the system for a few years now. He's got some weapons. He has Tyrell Williams, which I'm really excited for. They got a young running back, Josh Jacobs, if I'm not mistaken, coming from Alabama. And a young front office, brand new coaching staff. Well, not brand new, but a coaching staff that is settled in for a year. They've had some time to get used to everything, implement the system, get the guys that they want. So I really liked from what I saw from them. Derek Carr looked really sharp this past game. He was darting the ball in there. The stats may not support it, but he looked really, really good.
Yeah.
So them Raiders, the Raiders.
The Raiders are back. And one more point, just with this whole alphabet guy scenario. The Raiders of yesteryear, I hope you guys understand, any little setback would mean, you know, a 15-point blowout on the football field. This team was able to rally, and I think that fact is being extremely underrated right now. And Derek Carr was able to complete, you know, a high percentage of passes on you know, a defense with phenomenal pass rushers with 6 preseason snaps. I mean, like, that's just insane. When you're talking about, like, being in football shape, he's not necessarily, like, there up to game speed. I think he's only going to get better, too. So, the Raiders, a lot to like, a lot to be excited about. But, Joseph?
22 of 26.
Yep, 22 of 26, a rating of 130, thereabouts?
121.
121, okay. But only one touchdown, like you said. The stats don't necessarily reflect it in terms of gaudy numbers, but he was extremely effective on the field, and the Raiders always looked in control of that game. But anyways, Joseph, what is your last NFL takeaway from week one?
My last takeaway for NFL week one? You know, I think we covered all of my takeaways, you know. I think one of the other takeaways that I had coming into this year is I think some of these divisions, I think some of these top teams, you know, the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Eagles, the Falcons, the Saints, the Rams, I think some of those teams, I think they're in a little bit of trouble right now with what we saw from some of these underdog teams, we'll call them, you know. I think some of these guys that I think we're penciled in to make the playoffs, penciled in to make the Super Bowl, penciled in to make the, you know, win the division and all that. I don't think we're going to have that this year. I think we're going to have lots of underdogs come up out of the blue, like the Baltimore Ravens, like we were just talking about, and really kind of shock the league a little bit. So I think this is going to be a little bit of an unpredictable NFL season. I think this is going to be a really fun one to watch.
Yeah, I agree too. And I kind of get that sense too, looking around the league. It's, I think the talent's a lot tighter than any, you know, years past that it has been. And, you know, like kind of going along with that, there's a lot of older quarterbacks as well that like Big Ben, Brady, Breeze, even Rodgers, these guys who have been pillars for the NFL for years and years and years. I mean, they're definitely getting closer to the end of their careers. And, you know, some of these young bucks are coming up and showing what they can do and that they can lead this league forward without the older guys. So there's going to be a lot of changing of the guard, a lot of excitement, but more importantly, a lot of parity. And that's why we love football. That's why we love the NFL. So anything else you want to add?
You know, I think we covered everything.
All right, perfect. Well, I'm super excited about week two. Look for our Pick'em episode, which should drop shortly as well. So please like, comment, share, and subscribe. Again, this has been Mark.
This is Joe.
And we are signing off.